So this week's Parsha has a very interesting thing. It has a list of blessings and curses. Now, not what we're talking, the admonition of the punishments that come, but blessings and cursing. And one of them becomes very practical. The last one, it's like after all the cursed. It's the last one in 27, chapter 27. A cursed is the one who will not uphold the words of Torah, of this Torah, to perform them. Everyone said, Amen. Cursed is the one who does not uphold the Torah. Little vague terminology. Article, which I didn't really look at, says, the nation accepted a curse upon anyone who does not uphold all of the Torah. Sounds vague to me. According to Rashi, Ramban, who I want to discuss, explains this to mean that every Jew must accept the Torah's validity in full and dare not claim that even one of the commandments is not relevant. That is the beginning of the Ramban. Ramban cites disapprovingly in the Jerusalem Talmud, a curse to anyone who can influence others to be loyal, but does not care to do so. So when it says uphold the Torah, there are different interpretations. But then the Ramban says, which we're going to discuss today, he quotes a Gemara in Jerusalem Talmud and Saita, and it's going to be a practical law. And the Jerusalem Talmud and Saita says that these words apply to a chazan. What's a chazan in English? The guy who runs the whole gabbai. Today, old days that was called, right? Today it's called a gabbai. The chazan is a gabbai today. We don't need an English word for gabbai. It says a curse. What does it mean? Does not uphold the Torah? If the gabbai places the Sefer Torah back in the ark, in an unfastened, is that a word? Not secure. And because of that, which happens every once in a while, someone opens the door, God forbid, and it comes down, a curse is the gabbai. That is a Jerusalem Talmud. The Ramban, who we already quoting, is quoting one answer, saying you have to accept it fully. Two, try to help people become better. Three, he says, I want to quote this Jerusalem Talmud, it means secure. Who upholds the Torah means secure it. Then the Ramban adds, I want to add from a Masechta Seifen, that's these Masechtas that they don't do in Daf Yomi, that says like this, what we're going to discuss tonight. One who does not uphold the Torah should be cursed means something we do today. Ramban mentions it, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, and we're going to read it. What do we do today to uphold the Torah? We as Ashkenazim, at the end of the laning, we lift up the Torah, uphold the Torah, and we show it to the people. That's what we do. The Ramban says it's sourced to a Masechta Seifen, like a Gemara, later the Rilei Gemara, which is sourced to this pasuk. And the one who doesn't do it, imagine a shul not doing it. It's like a weird thing anyway. If a shul wouldn't do it for any reason, or I guess it could be the gabbai is not making sure someone gets done, a curse goes to that person. Upholding the safe. So when we look at the Hagba, and maybe we don't take it as seriously as we can, somewhere in that, if it's not being done correctly, there is a curse applied to that person. So I figured we'll use that as a gateway, halachically, to discuss, the Shulchan Aruch has one thing on it, just to discuss what we're doing and how. So the Shulchan Aruch in 134.2 says, we are supposed to show the letters of the Torah to all the people standing there, to its right and to its left, discuss that in 10 seconds, then to the front and the back. It's an obligation upon everyone, men and women, to see the letters. Next word, bow down and say the verse that we all say. So what the Ramah says, by the way, the Svardim do it beforehand. You gotta go to a Svardi davening, they do it before laning, before Kriyas Torah, and we do it afterward. Now, let's go through a couple of things here that goes. The Chidah writes, by the way, it's a custom. There was a shul that wrote to the Chidah in the 1800s. He's quoting really an earlier source that they didn't do this, and they found this thing. What do we get? Don't worry about it, not a big deal. And everyone writes on the Chidah, if he would have seen this Ramban, seen other early commentators that talk about it, it's a curse, he would have maybe not as been so easy about it to this other person.
I have not seen it.
Right.
We'll go into that at a different time. Now, you have to see, when it says you turn right and turn left, I want to do a couple questions here. Why we turn right, that means the person who lifts it up goes to his right first. Well, why do you go to your right first? Because in general, Judaism is separate law. Don't do it with the Torah. Every time you have to go, go to the right first. So now became a debate. I said it says in the words, go right then left. Some people, I don't know what you do here. I don't know if anyone knows what they're doing here, including myself. Some people go to the right, like it says, and then they go to the left, like it says. Some people, Chazanish, which means that line, the stipler, the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, those people follow that line. What they would do is, They would not go to the left. They don't believe in that. Because when you're going to the right, why are you going to the right first? You go to the right first because you're always supposed to go to the right. So why are you going back to the left?
Blocking the view of the people that can't see.
Excellent. Full circle. Chazanish, when he would get Hagba, they bring this down. Chazanish would get Hagba, he would go full circle.
Turn around like this?
Complete circle. A 360. Oh, yeah, I'm just telling. It's a complete 360. Some say no, that since the Shulchan Aruch added the word, go to your right and to your left, even though it really means the people on the right and the left should see it, probably that's really what it means. So you're getting the people on the right and the left when you're doing that. But they say, no, take the word literally, go to the right, and then go to the left. So there's two ways of what some people do. Now, ideally, argument, but ideal, that you're going to lift it up three pages, but for the people to see it, of what you are going to read, Sfaradim do it before, or Ashkenaz, what you just read.
That's real close.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. So let's say, I'm going before that, let's say we only have a shul of righties, right? And no one looks like Garbo. Nobody's that strong.
Right?
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay, we'll go. Let's say we have a lot of lefties, right? And we're on Bereshis. You know what Bereshis is? Right heavy. Right heavy. And let's say you're going to all the lefties and Shulam's like, you want to do Hagba? I'm like, no. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't need everyone fasting because of me. Because that's not good. So you want to just roll it over so I can get the strength into it. I know myself. I need one third over. It'll take a little time. Can you or can you not? So many people believe you can. But some people believe it don't. If the reason is to open up to show people what you're about to read or what you read, then you're limited to that. So ideally, keep it where it is. Get someone who's strong. Unideally, gun to your head, some people allow you to move it over.
I've never seen anybody roll for a Hagba.
Because most of the generation, first of all, you have to realize also, like Mitch said before about something else. Today's generation, we're a different world. The Sefer Torah we have today, do you see those old Sefer Torah? Those old ones. With those thick parchment, and they're tall, and they're, like they are really. The older you go, almost always the much it's like squared. It's like 2 to 4. It's like the earthquake. 8.1 to 8.2 is not that. You know, it's like a big thing. So as you go further back, based on how they were, they had less tools available. So today you get safer tires that are what? This big.
Yeah, the one in Boca was literally this big. And I said, I have to be reading out of that.
Today, and they're thinner. Not only is it height-wise, it's thinner. The parchment's thinner. And the glaze that they put over, that's really what they claim is the real heavy stuff. I'm not good enough to know. They put a glaze over it to keep the letters from falling off. The glaze, the older glaze was brutal. And remember, you got to do the glaze over the whole thing. You might be quadrupling the weight of the parchment with that. The glaze is brutal. And nowadays, one of the ways they did it. Now, obvious question you guys can answer. Let's say it says go to the right first. But you know that everyone is lopsided. Forget the weight of the Sefer Torah being lopsided. But let's say the weight of the people is lopsided. There's nobody on the right side. Can you go straight to the left or not? First of all, sometimes it depends when you pick it up, how the shul's set up. So, of course, the way we're learning right now, it would seem you must go to the right first. Because both answers, whether you're twirling 360 or you're going right to left, the reason you're going to right first is because, not because people on the right are more valuable. Not because people on the right should see the letters first. No, because when you make a turn, you go right first. So who cares if somebody's there? Nobody's there. That's what a lot of people want to say. Now, as far as reading the letters, Mr. Brewer quotes it. Kabbalistic. Mr. Brewer says that there's a light that emanates from the Torah. And in order to really grab that light, you're supposed to look at and see the letters. The Ben Ishchai Sfaradi adds on, supposed to see a letter that begins with your name. So if your name is Yosef, that's an easy one in English. I don't know what Mitch is in Hebrew. In Hebrew, try to see a Yud. But they also say that if you're going to be going over there from a distance, you shouldn't do it. They say because going over there looks like arrogance. I add on that it's just going to disturb people. So you got to know the crowd, know the thing. So when you see the person running from the back to the front, if in that synagogue they're going to go, you think you're so much better than we are, then the guy should just avoid this special emanation or get a better seat beforehand. Get a better seat before him. So far, this is going right.
So you could have someone before you and say, we're on the page. I mean, you look for your letters right away.
Well, do you?
No,
but you could.
I'm easy because Moshe. I mean, almost every time they're opening, except for the first book, except in Bereshit when they're right heavy, there's always a Moshe there, except for Parshat Tetzava, right?
And Michael is them also.
Right. I'm saying I see my name.
Oh.
But you don't need to know the letter. Yeah, the man. No, all the letters you're going to see. I mean, it's three columns most of the time. So they say, because of that, good point, that because people are supposed to see the letters and they got to say something, that the person should not be a quick trigger guy and quickly sit down. Because if you're looking until you see a letter, could take, pick a number, I don't know, 4 seconds, 6 seconds. Depends on the lighting, and depends on a million things. So you're not supposed to quickly do it and put it down as well. Now,
what's the thing about seven or six? Why do people make it really wide to be show off their muscles?
I don't think there's, yeah, that's,
I thought it was,
I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure.
I saw a seam and then like a number on the same side.
It's a cover thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a cover that you're strong.
Oh,
the cover that you're strong. Now, Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, there's a custom to turn it around. And I'll tell you, unbelievable. What I read to you was Shulchan Aruch, 1500s, Code of Laws. Listen to the words I said, I stressed it before. It's an obligation on men and women. In the old days, they never came to Shul. But if they're in Shul, yeah, I guess pick it high enough they could see it. Okay. We don't want them running to the front. Women, to see the letters and to bow down. I don't know if there's any custom anywhere practically done that people bow down. We'll get to the fingers in a second. But bowing down, it doesn't say fingers, does say bow down. Why not? So the Kloisenberger Rebbe, who I love, came up with two answers on why people wouldn't bow down today. Only because Michael thought of it, that's why I thought of it. He says that Ashkenaz doesn't bow down, he's only answering for us, because the original thing was when you hold the Sefer Torah outward, that everyone could see it, so the respect for the Sefer Torah, you bow in respect. But nowadays that it's really behind, you're seeing the person first, before you got to look over his head, depends how high he's going, but if he's in the way, that was his first answer. Therefore, they wouldn't bow down necessarily. He right away asked Michael's question. Wait a second, because once a year, we got the guy who is showing off, but that's supposed to be done. When they turn it around and they spin it outwardly, he says, wait a second, if my theory is right, then I have a problem. On Simchas Torah, we should have people bowing down, and we don't have that. So he says, Kloisenberger, I must change the opinion. I must be wrong. Why don't we actually bow down? Open Shulchan Aruch. Open word. So he says, I'll come up with a different answer. Because it's a famous question. Mechasenach talks about it, of course. That there is a tradition that we take very seriously what the Torah looks like. Every letter, if you're missing a letter, you're out of the game. It's letter perfect. But the issue is that when you look at a Gemara sometimes, for the word Sukkos, let's say, the Gemara will say Sukkos is spelled with two extra vowels of the Vav. But in our version, we don't have that. We have what's called Chaseris, missing letters, and Yeseris. Our version that we have, every Sefer Torah of the Ashkenaz descent, is exactly the same. Whether it's in Russia, Litha, England, America, it's all the same. But all of those don't necessarily match every single Gemara we have. We have a missing letters, and it became a great debate. The Sefer Torah, when you're completing a Sefer Torah, can you make a party? Can you make a blessing? Our version is our version. But in the end, the Talmud's version, this is real Bible criticism stuff, is different. So the Kloisenberger wants to say, you know why we don't bow down? Because there is a percentage of a chance that what we have is not a kosher Sefer Torah, because it might be off on a letter or an extra letter. And therefore, he wants to say that's why the custom began 400 or 500 years ago, where people said, you know what, no more bowing down. Very wild. But reality is, the Shulchan Aruch says bow down. More reality is, nobody does. Maybe nowadays you'll see someone do a little head nod, but I don't think you see that. What about the fingers? Shulchan Aruch does not say anything about the fingers. And there are
points. You bow down to the Sefer
Torah?
Some, two customs brought down in early commentators. Some say point with the pinky, and some say point with the ring finger. Point at all. Well, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say point, by the way.
So where does the pointing come from? What's the custom?
No, it goes back a long time, but it's not wild that they don't. The easiest answer for the question, where would it have come from, is we have a rule that every time the Torah says the word either zeh or zeis, which means this male and female, it's way ahead. Every time we have the word zeh in the Torah, so it says Rashi says when the Jews got out and they were singing by the Kriyas Yamsa, they said, zeh keli ba'amvei. Rashi says, oh, they pointed to God and said, that's the God that helped us out. Moshe Rabbeinu said by the word zeh by the menorah. Right away, Rashi comments, oh yeah, he couldn't understand the menorah. Hashem brought down a menorah to let him look at it. In the Torah, almost always when it says a zeh or the zeis, there is a physical manifestation occurring right away. And sometimes when you look at the Midrashim, it's even like you point to it as it's going on. Right? Zeh keli ba'amvei, the Gemara says. There are many Gemaras that say that the Jews pointed. Well, but you're saying also. So since we say zeis ha-Torah, so that concept, again, it's not a law in Hagbah. And that would mean, if you decide, now here it does say to say the words, It says, you say the words Zayis HaTorah. Let's say you're not saying it. Cough, COVID, lazy, don't know what to say. Then it could be according to this approach I just told you. You don't point. Because the pointing is not for the Sefer Torah, for the Hagba. The point, because it doesn't say about Hagba here. It doesn't say point over here. The pointing is because you're saying a certain verse. And you're looking at the thing. So in that case, a mute person, whatever, would not necessarily have to point. But there are early sources. And within the early sources, they debate. Right side pinky or right side index finger. This is index, right? And right away, when the sources, you got to figure it out. So the right side pinky is very easy way to understand it. Because we believe that there's 10 commandments. And we believe when we lift the Sefer Torah up, what we're doing is not lift only. When we read from the Sefer Torah, we're supposed to have two people standing there. Why is there a guy standing there? So in Bnei Avram, a guy standing there because he wants to make sure the guy is going the cantillation correctly, right? Right, you have that. But in a lot of shows you go into, the guy's not doing this whole thing. And the guy in reading is not even looking at the guy doing the whole thing. Why do we have, one of the reasons we have to have people up there is because by Sinai, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was there and he stood there and it might have been Aaron or Kohen next to him. So we try to reenact it. Every time we're reading the Torah, we're doing a reenactment. A lot of the laws apply to that. So what we want to do with the reenactment is we're starting from the Ten Commandments, and this represents the first of the Ten Commandments, because it goes this way. So the right side pinky would represent, I am your God. So we lift up the Sefer Torah and we're reenacting it, we go with the pinky. Others say that you go with this finger, and they have it based on a pasuk in Tehillim, that it says Hashem's name, we say it by davening on Shabbos. On davening by Shabbos, we say those psukim. In fact, Rabbi Raskin told me that the Chabatzka says that it's the same psukim, that the reason, why do we put the ring by a wedding on this finger? No?
Yeah, yes.
We're right here, this finger. Right, why? We don't put the ring on the ring finger. And it's the same pasuk. The Chabatzka says, I don't know if he was the first one to say it, but the same thing we point with this finger, it's the same psukim in Tehillim. There's five psukim in a row, Teres Hashem Tamim Meshivas Nafesh, and that the word Hashem is the second word of five psukim in a row with five words. So it's blank Hashem, four blanks, every single time. So since the name of Hashem appears the second letter these times, you have to know why that applies to lifting the Sefer Torah, why it applies to a wedding ceremony. But in that way, they say, therefore, the index finger becomes...
You said you count from the pinky first.
That's the other side says. They're saying when you count for the Ten Commandments, you go that way. If you're counting from the name of Hashem, you're going the other way as well. Now, I did see there is a Rebbeinu Bachri, which we're not going into, we should one day, that says the reason. Like, who thinks about these things? Why do we have five fingers? And the Rebbeinu Bachri has a long, incredible essay, how the five fingers represent the five senses of a human being. Incredible essay. Worth, if we have an English Rebbeinu Bachri, we have Rebbeinu Bachri in English here. We used to have it here. And he says that the finger, the index finger, is for the power of hearing. And he writes, as an example, when you don't want to hear something, first instinct, you're putting your fingers in your ears. Yeah, most people's first reaction is this finger. And he brings this down. It's not me. He says the reason why we put this finger, how come people don't put this finger in? Again, naturally, most people do this finger because this finger is connected. He goes in a Kabbalistic thing. Also, this finger connects to hearing. So some want to say that the reason to point with this finger is because we always want to talk about the greatness of what we said at the time. Naseh v'nishma. We will do, and then we will hear. But the idea of hearing became a crucial detail to the accepting of the Torah. So we use the finger that represents the sense. The sense of hearing as that. Some want to say that as well. Okay, we have a couple minutes. We'll stop here then.
That's so cool.
Thank you. We'll stop here. Next week is, when's Rosh Hashanah? No, 2 weeks, yeah. Next week we're on, God willing.